Good evening, everyone. It's Wednesday night, it's 7 o'clock, and this is the ABD Guidebook by E.J. Gold. And we're in our 24th week of study of this volume. And as I've indicated before, this is a volume that's really broken into three pieces, and we're deep into the center section of it, which is a study of the various books of the dead. And it's an enormous journey that we're on. And the advantage that we have as participants, which I'm one of the participants, is that we have these small groups that get together and work diligently, focusing together, and with their combined group mind, create a penetration into the various books. That's what it takes. So we have like a guide party that goes out, right?
Yes.
That's what it is. It's like
it's a scouting party.
It's a scouting party that goes out and tells us what the lay of the land is, and then something unusual happens. They work it together so they are of one mind, and then they bring that back to us. Now, it doesn't matter to me, you know, like how many of us are here online, et cetera, because we upload it also, and it's there for forever. It's there forever. And so we're providing something, we're providing a map. It's in a certain way, and this is not accurate, but it's an astral map that people can work with to follow. At the same time that that's going on, that they're doing that for us, what's the name of this? Now we're on the fifth book, the second session of the fifth book, and what's the name of that book?
Well, the book, according to the title in this copy, says the fifth book of the dead, called the book of Absalom.
Of Absalom.
Yeah, it's called the Book of Absalom.
So Absalom is also given a portal for this short period of time that we open and leave the door open for that presence to, in a sense, come through, and it allows us like that to be part of it.
Participation.
So, there you are. And are we ready to get going over there, Dan? Dan's ready. Pat, are you ready?
Yes.
Who's that over there?
A stranger.
The man with the hat.
So, often online, when you're on the live stream, you're going to see somebody who's logged in as Tianjo, and tonight you see him fresh, and there he is. Glad you could make it here.
I am most pleased to be here, sir.
Great. So I'm going to turn the reins over, in a sense, to Pat, and she's going to guide us through this.
We have a presentation to offer this evening from our group, from our studies, and from our joining together. And it includes one of our group members who is not present with us this evening. That would be Laura 34. She has left some materials for us to offer to the group, as well as Alchemy, who joined us in the beginning of our studies, and I have her materials to present also.
Wow.
So there'll be two occasions when, in the sequence of the presentation, I'm offering materials of others, not of my own. So just so it's clear, I'm not doing all this work myself. I'm just reporting it. The presentation this evening will have a beginning, a middle, and an end. I thought I would let you know that, because sometimes when we wander in these chambers, we find ourselves someplace. We don't necessarily know how we got there, and we don't necessarily know when we've left. So I'm going to help you this evening with a few landmarks The first landmark is we will deliver the reading of the book of Absalom, and then at the end, we will deliver the reading of the book of Absalom. First, we are going to read in sequence, and you are welcome to read along or listen or get up and dance or however it occurs to you. Our first reader will be on this other page. I've got it written down. Our first reader this evening, oh, Jesus, not even on that book. You've got it. Who's
in
first?
In fact, I do.
Who's first?
It will be Vennie Bobo.
Vennie Bobo will read first, and then Auntie Matter will join us, and then Tianjo, and then Clear Light, in that order.
Okay, this is the fifth book of the dead, called the Book of Absalom. This is verse 1. I am he whose essence and attributes are free from all imperfection and deficiency. I am capable of action, and my actions are free from any taint of evil or error.
Verse 2. And my being is the perfect, unobstructed, and uncontested state of being in existence. I have none to oppose it, not even an absolute evil.
Verse 3. For me, there can be no opposition, nor is there imperfection of action resulting from reaction. I meet no resistance, find nothing to bind me, encounter no friction. I am without bounds, without limits, perfect in action and complete in myself.
Verse 4. And so this is the instruction for the second day of apparitions caused by the breaking apart of the five primal elements of consciousness.
Verse 5. And if, in spite of the direct confrontation so far given, through the power of attachment to things of the world of matter, you responded with anger or fear to the bright blue light, or you have become overwhelmed by the illusions of the transit world, there shall be further tests of your courage and endurance.
Okay. The element and the body of desire shall become as his body from within, with the blue self.
Verse 7. And a radiant beam of brilliant white light shall come from the heart of the guide, and the light shall blind you, and it shall strike you in your own heart. And with that white light, which dissolves anger and hatred, there shall be also a soft, smoky gray light coming from the world of hell.
Verse 8. And if you become angry or afraid, you will want to hide from the brilliant white light, and it will anger you with its brilliance, and it will expose you in your fear and anger.
Verse 9. And you will wish to seek refuge in the soft, smoky light of the hell world. Now you must have faith in the bright white light, which is the light of salvation for you.
Verse 10.
Verse 10. And with the grace of the Lord and what is wisdom, that the light to be that they with the good is perfected and they possess it. He is made free of sin.
Verse 11. And beware of the dull, smoky light from the world of hell. And if it catches you and pulls you down, you are destined to be born in the world of hell. And you shall endure unbearable tortures and suffering. And for he who is drawn down, there may be no escape. And if you now become angry or fearful, you will be drawn down, and you will not be free in the world of hell, nor is there salvation in the world of hell.
Verse 12, and you ought now to concentrate upon the brilliant white light, and thus you ought now to pray with me.
Verse 13. Alas, when wandering in the world through the power of violent anger and fear, on the path of radiance of the mirror of wisdom and light, may I be led by the guide of the transit world.
Verse 14. May the divine word be my protector. And may I be brought safely across the danger. Now may I be saved.
Verse 15. And he that prays in this way with humility and faith in the divine love, he shall merge in rainbow light with the heart of reality and attain complete union with the absolute truth. This concludes the reading of the fifth book of the dead, called the Book of Asalan.
We're going to move now to a section of study that has been being developed by Veni Bodo, called Devotion for Dummies, Part 2.
Okay. Thank you. In reading this last three or four passages, it becomes really clear that our situation here in the Book of Asalam, in this chamber, is that we want to keep taking our awareness to recognition of the clear light. And that's called the ground luminosity, often in the Buddhist tradition. It's a very well-described phase of passing in the Buddhist tradition. And as we were reading tonight, I realized almost how well the ADD guidebook describes these situations, which the Tibetan, mostly Tibetan Buddhists, have been talking about. I'm just going to do a quick reading from a book called Medicine and Compassion by Chokyi Nyima Rinpoche. And he talks about this bardo, and he says, the next bardo is the luminous bardo of our innate nature. In this stage, our innate nature, the basic nature of mind, is totally unobscured for a short while. We can glimpse our basic nature of mind at that moment. This is the same for every sentient being. This quality of mind, this luminous wakefulness, is revealed to us at that moment, but it may be only a brief glimpse. The tendency to cling to duality is poised to reassert itself, and for most of us, it immediately moves in and obscures this experience of our basic nature. But I'm going to summarize a bit here. He says that if the dying person was someone who during his or her lifetime was introduced to the basic nature of mind, when such a person arrives at the bardo, the innate nature, he or she will be already familiar with remaining in that state of mind. And at that moment, they may experience the meeting between the mother and child, luminous wakefulness, or the recognition of their own Buddha nature, which would be recognition of the clear light, in the same spontaneous way that a child recognizes its own mother. And that moment, there's the opportunity to become fully liberated. So that's from Medicine and Compassion, page 154 of Chökyi Nyima Rinpoche. So, another thing that can help us at this point to get to the recognition of that ground luminosity is that we can get help. We still have to do the work of recognition, but merging our mind stream with that of a deity or a guru can help us. And if we become very familiar with the compassionate nature of the guru or the deity to share blessings with us, then we can get help at this point. And we really want to try to develop confidence in this practice. So from the Bardo Guidebook by the same author, Chökyi Nyima Rinpoche, page 105, and I'll do some summarizing here. If physical discomfort, pain, or disturbing emotions, such as anger or fear, which were also spoken about in Book 5, Asalam, or other distractions are experienced during the interruption of life force, the important point for persons who are not stable in the practice is not to get too carried away, not to put too much importance on the sensation of physical discomfort or the other emotions at this time, since simply relax in the view right up to the experience that is called the ground luminosity of full attainment. And then he goes on to say, and this is being a part of the talk that will be relevant to the devotional aspect, that if we're unable to do that, then, quote, visualize your root guru and with intense and deep self-devotion, make the aspiration to recognize the nature of luminosity. By combining the power of devotion with the blessings of the enlightened teacher at this point, it is possible to recognize the luminosity of the path. Therefore, when the ground luminosity dawns, one will be liberated. The crucial point here is one-pointed devotion. Unite your mind with that of your root teacher and develop powerful trust in order to realize the luminosity of the path. I'll just give two more instances of where this is illustrated. This is a book called Pointing Out the Dharmakaya by Chenchen Trangu. And at some point I'll put up a bibliography of these books if anybody's interested. Great. And he says that here we go. Once we have done mandala practice, we can then do something that will make our understanding and meditation progress grow very quickly, and this is the practice of guru yoga. If we pray to our guru one-pointedly, then real devotion will arise in us. Once we have this real devotion, we will be able to receive the blessing of our root guru and all the lamas that have come before us. If we look at it from the viewpoint of, well, then he goes in to talk about more esoteric parts about Buddhism. But then there's another sentence here which says, Guru Yoga practice is the process of merging the minds and the blessings of the Buddhas and Bodhisattvas with ours. It's like the merging of two rivers into one. So not only are we getting the benefit of our practice with our root deity or guru, we are also getting the full lineage that is backing up that practice. And the last quote is from a fabulous book called Mind Beyond Death by Dzogchen Panlop. Fabulous book. He says on page 142, working with our devotion means that we are not just relying on our own efforts. We are opening ourselves to a source of blessings that is an embodiment and reflection of our own fundamental nature. When we genuinely supplicate the guru and the lineage, we feel the presence of the sacred world. The qualities of clarity, gentleness, peace, joy, and equanimity are naturally with us. Therefore, we are confident, relaxed, and fearless. Okay, and then I will just close with something that just came up as I was reading some of these books, and this is comes up as book 5, Asalam. This is the hymn to Avalokiteshvara, part 1. This is by Veni Bodo. In your brilliant whiteness filled with a deep, invisible, healing energy of blue, I take refuge in loving kindness. I take refuge in the teacher, the teaching, and the community of spiritual friends. I take refuge in your mantra, Om Mani Padme Hum, which sings praise for you and for how I, an ordinary student, can immediately, with your guidance, help, and presence, attain some measure of loving kindness in the world. I can invoke your presence anywhere as a white radiation dissolving away my frustrations and angers of the hell world. They will immediately drop away with your presence. I know that you are here when I am invoking loving kindness, and this will lead to compassion, where I can accept the suffering of others, which might seem like too much at first, but will come as a way that I can work with these radiations in everyday life. But what is more important than that? To work with these instructions as if they are exactly a part of here and now, not some future scenario, and thus by practicing your presence of loving kindness and making it eventually a part of myself, internalizing it, and even then universalizing it. This practice is just the beginning, invoking your outer presence, same mantra, to bring your presence of the brilliant white cleansing radiation into my daily life. And this is with thank you to Tolku Tongdup, the heart of unconditional love. Thank you guys very much.
Thank you, Veni Bodo. So now we're going to have a presentation, not invocationally of Zalman Schachter, but of his recipient. Antimatter is with us today, and I thought the phone was going to be in her hand, so it's going to be heard on the tape. No? Thought the phone was going to be... Okay, all right. Okay, fine.
And you know how I hate feedback.
We'll talk to you about that later.
I just kind of wanted to go into a little more depth first about the name Asalam, because it has much more meaning than just the standard greeting. In actuality, there are really three deeper meanings to this greeting. Asalam, as you all know at this point, is one of the names of the divine. So when it says saying that may this divine trait of peace and tranquility be upon you, and may you be protected. So there is a peace similar to the Christian tradition of the Namaste. So it's a blessing that you are giving to another. But also in the meaning of Asalam is the meaning of submission or surrender, in the sense that you are kind of opening to the divine will, and there is receptivity to that. And then the third meaning in Asalam is the meaning of protection and safety. And in the Islamic tradition, when you would greet someone and say Asalam, you are asking for, but you're also offering protection from any evil that you may inflict on another. And you're asking, and you're sort of giving us a pledge that they will be protected from any evil that it is your intent not to cause any spiritual, physical, so it's a very powerful word. And so when you look at the root of this word out of the Islamic tradition, there are other words that share the same root. And one of them is the word Sabin. And it's the meaning of Sabin is a heart that is sound. Unblemished. This is in a state of well-being. So you get this sense throughout the line of, Vinny was talking about sort of that merging with the mainstream of the blue, the loving kindness. But you get that sense then also when you have the part that is compassionate. And then the word Islam, which is the idea of surrender to Allah, is also found in that root of Asalam. So Islam actually comes from surrendering to the divine will. Third was Insalam, which is thinking about, I think the verse that really struck me, and let me read it again for you, and it says, and it is the grace of the Lord in love and wisdom that the light bathes you in its cleansing rays, and he that bathes in it and rejoices in it is perfected of his existence. And he is made free of sin, and he shall enter into the kingdom. I was really struck by the pairing of the two words, love and wisdom. I mean, Grant, Vinny Gordo talked about that love and kindness. In this text, love and wisdom really, spoke to me, personally, because in my own experience, love without wisdom can be extremely short-sighted, and also love without knowledge or wisdom can lead to suffering. So that powerful pairing of those two words, loving, loving wisdom, because for me, wisdom without the love is intellectual. It doesn't have that element of compassion. And yet, we follow the movements that are pointed to in Asalam, surrender and taking on the discipline to not harm oneself or others. That receptivity leads to love, and love can make us wiser. I think each of us have greater capacities and loves than we know. And part of what I've heard in many Bodo's talk tonight was about the importance of connecting with the Guru, because knowledge without wisdom is sort of futile. And yeah, wisdom can't be told to you. You know, you can't. It's not a mental. But with love, you're drawn into a receptivity where the mind kind of falls away in the synthesis of one's own experiences with one's knowledge. So out of that union, you get the loving wisdom. And then the other question that Thomas Piaggio or Carey talked a little bit about it last week, about sin. So here we are, we've talked about Islam, we've talked about Buddhism, well, again, coming up in the Christian framework, what is sin in relationship to what's mentioned here? And to me, one possible understanding of sin as it's used in this verse is to believe for a moment that a spiritual being has, even for a moment, somehow become compressed into the skull of a body, so that it enters or leaves the body in the further entrapment of the being. And that comes right right out of this book, the Sunday Sermons, which I'm very much looking forward to. That's verse 16. I mean, that's the Sunday Sermon. But I just thought that was so, to believe for a moment that we have become compressed into the skull of the body. So just in closing, the peace of Absalom is not a gift that one receives from outside. Paradoxically, it has to arise from within the person who happens to be seeking it. When you are you without the ego, you are the faith.
Speak to this again. you have the opportunity, but I will say a word or two to our television audience tonight. We have had the honor and the privilege of participating in shared experiences as this group and as the larger group of the people who are traveling the journey of the ABD guidebook, with David at the helm. And we have discovered that song and dance and movement and prayer all transmit very nicely to this medium and are received. And tonight I want us to have the opportunity to be part of the experience of an individual sitting with the text and extemporaneously delivering whatever there is.
Thank you, gentlemen. This afternoon, talking to me about what she wanted me to do. About something that I felt. I have something actually right now. I'd like to share part of that conversation. I'll start in this word. We may have three concerns. So we said, well, this might be a little bit more reassurance that I really don't belong down here. I can be in this place but not really of it. And then secondly, we may be worried or have concerns about our loved ones, our family members. That transit often entails. So, and then third, if we do this long enough, we'll reach a point in the maturity of our work where we really start wanting this for all beings everywhere, including people that don't like me, that somehow realize we're all one creature, and that we're not only all in this boat together, we are the boat. So I think this is useful. It was for me this morning because I'm currently reading a cousin who passed away about 12 years ago. He wasn't a particularly religious man. And we hadn't had such a visiting with him. And of course, passed away. Yesterday, in receiving the journey, at an unseasonable time. And didn't get much sleep on the aircraft and was tired. But this morning, 4:30, and off we went to the and I neglected to do my reading. I was feeling like I had failed. And pointed out something really. Our chamber that we pray in with us wherever we go. We don't really need that. But I thought long ago that you can't love Jesus just because you like the toys. So this is really kind of what we're talking about. Mm-hmm. The accoutrements are nice, and I don't want to fall in love with all the little fancy trimmings. Basically, what we want to do is to be sincere. So I wrote down several things, part of which we discussed this afternoon. And one is having intention. Be pure and clear in your intention. And this kind of merges with your interest in the other person for whom you're reading. Not just to assuage your own uncertainty, be bold for them in a way that you would like somebody to be for you. And then presence, we've been practicing this in every book today. That confers a blessing on the other person that cannot be blessed. Practice adding. And then unconditional love, which I think you covered. Unconditional love. And there may be some others. If anybody else that wants to chime in, anybody here present, online. Those three things I think are indispensable. Healthy embrace of the fact that we can always be of help to other people and to ourselves. External to that.
Thank you so much. And could you just travel here every week?
Yeah.
Just, you know, just for this, and that would be so good. I am going to set aside the additional readings that I have for this evening from a couple of our other folks, except for one small piece on verse 13. The other part I will save for next week. We'll have one more session on book 5.
Okay.
Verse 13 says, "Alas, when wandering in the world, through the power of violent anger and fear on the path of radiance of the mirror of wisdom and light. May I be led by the guide of the transit world. From Laura 34. One, wandering in the world. Two, through the power of violent anger and fear. Three, on the path of radiance. Four, a mirror of wisdom of light. Five, be led by the guide. Let's say I haven't read any prior verses. This is all that I have to work with. I would say I'm in the body, the flesh and blood body, because it says wandering in the world. It does not specify. It also, it appears by the phrasing that the world I am in is not necessarily after death of the flesh and blood body, although it can be that also. I am angry, violent, and fearful. Two things appear to be happening. One, I am in the hell world. Two, I am also on the path of radiance and wisdom of light. If I have the vision, I could see through my anger and see this path. This is a way out of this. Let's say I cannot see it. But I know I am in the hell world because I am smart enough to know violence, anger, and fear is not a radiance path. What can I do if I have worked on myself and been exposed to the teaching? Well, I could humbly ask for help from the guide to lead me and keep me on the path of radiance. With this guidance and following the guide's instruction, this has the potential of being a transforming effect. I have a suspicion this can be used for our everyday life in the body of the flesh, with the guide helping us along to a transformation of sorts. Hold your breath. Personal Experience, Book 5, Verse 13. This Book of the Dead off Salam, verse 13. Alas, when wandering in the world through the power of violent anger and fear, on the path of the radiance of wisdom and light, may I be led by the guide of the transit world. I decided to wear a new outfit. I was going to meet a fellow jeweler from the ashram at one of the biggest mall. It was a Saturday and a back-to-school shopping day, free tax day. As the morning progressed, something just did not feel right. And being a woman, I felt it might be the outfit. It was all wrong. It felt as if something not friendly had descended upon me and it was angry. So I changed the outfit. And things felt a little better, but it was still hanging around me. On the drive to the mall, traffic was outrageous and fast. People going 80 and 90. They had places to go and wanted to get there right away. I was in the middle lane. All of a sudden, three cars ahead of me, I could see a car going sideways, coming into my path of cars. I slammed on the brakes, nearly missing the car in front of me. Really shook up. I tried to start my car and get out of there. It was totally dead. I was locked in, and the windows would not go up or down, stalled out. I have to admit, with cars barreling down on me from behind, I did not do too well at this point on not panicking. I looked to my right out the window, and there was a lovely lady asking me if I was all right. I explained my situation, and she said, "You're all right. Call 911. I will stay with you until you get them." I got 911 on the phone, looked up, and true to her word, she was gone. I really felt an angelic force had landed to be of assistance. I was calmer. Finally, my car started and I was able to move on, still somewhat shaken by my death encounter, which slammed me into a different space. As I drove by, the car that was turned had just a dent to its front bumper. It was amazing, like a scratch on the hand. And I heard the driver say, "I had no idea what happened. My car just slid across the highway." I am sharing this experience because I was and had been working with verse 13 for several days rather intensely. And the last line came to mind, "May I be led by the guide of the transit world." The woman was my angelic guide. Also in relating this to the verse, the traffic, the day, had lots of energy. Lots of people on the highway with their own problems, anger, and violent actions to add to the mix. I had a very severe wake-up call, and I'm glad to be. So we would like to close this evening with our reading of Book 5, and we will be reading it back from where it returns, starting from the last verse. Jenny Bodo, will you please begin? Oh no, I'm doing it backwards. Verse 15. He that prays in this way with humility and faith in the divine love, he shall merge in rainbow light with the heart of reality and attain complete union with the absolute.
Verse 14. And may the divine Lord be my protector. And may I be safely brought across the danger of the world transit. Now may I be placed in the state of the pure.
Verse 13, alas, when wandering in the world through the power of violence, anger, and fear, on the path of radiance of a mirror of wisdom and life, may I be led by the God.
Verse 12, and you ought now to concentrate upon the brilliant white light, and thus you ought now to pray with me.
Verse 11, and beware of the dull, smoky light from the world of hell. And if it catches you and pulls you down, you are destined to be born in the world of hell, and you shall endure unbearable torture. And for he who is drawn down, there may be no escape. And if you now become angry or fearful, you will be drawn down, and you will not be free in the world of hell, nor is there salvation in the world of hell.
Verse 10. And it is the grace of the Lord, in loving wisdom, that the light bathes you in its cleansing rays. He that bathes in it and rejoices in it is perfected of his indifference. And he is made free of sin, and he shall enter into it.
Verse 9. And people wish to seek refuge in the soft, smoky light of the whole world. Now, you must have faith in the glory of the light, which is the light of salvation for you.
Verse 8, and if you become angry or afraid, you will want to hide from the brilliant white light, and it will anger you with its brilliance, and it will expose you in your fear and anger.
Verse 7, and a radiant beam, a brilliant white light, shall come from the heart of the guide, and the light shall blind you, and it shall strike you in your own heart. And with that white light, which dissolves anger and hatred, there shall be also a soft, smoky gray light coming from the world of hell.
Verse 6. And on this day, the element of pure form will appear to you within your guide and as your guide. And it shall shine white and luminous. And the body of the guide shall become as if lighted from within with a blue, dazzling light.
Verse 5. And this in spite of the direct confrontation so far given to the power of attachment to the things the world of matter, you responded with anger and fear to the bright blue light, for you had become overwhelmed by the illusion of the transit world. There shall be further test of your courage and endurance.
Verse 4. And so this is the instruction for the second day of apparition, caused by the breaking apart of the five primal elements of consciousness.
Verse 3, for me, there can be no opposition, nor is there imperfection of action, resulting from reaction. I meet no resistance, find nothing to bind me, encounter no friction. I am without bounds, without limits, perfect in action, and complete in myself.
Verse 2, and my being is the perfect, unobstructed and uncontested state of being in it. I have none to oppose me, not even an absolute evil.
Verse 4. I am peace, essence and attributes are free from all perception of deficiency. I am capable of action, and my actions are free from any taint of evil.
I hope that your readings this week go well for you and that you enjoy many, many incidents of the angelic guides in your world of trance.
Thank you.
Thank you, everyone.
Thank you, Book 5. Thank you, Jim Bowden.
I wanted to make a couple of comments. First of all, on the driver incident that you read.
Laura. Mm-hmm. Laura 34, yeah.
So the driver got in this position, and because of the work that she had been doing in maybe just even in this book, she was aware of the structure, the dynamic macro-dimensional structure that was about her.
Yeah.
She saw the guide.
Yeah.
She saw the guide. And it, in a sense, took the enhanced energy of that dangerous position that she was in to raise her consciousness to that level.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to maintain that it's a practice of holding your attention in a certain way, because I think that this is happening all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And the guide will take different forms, and the different structures will present themselves to us, that as we walk through the world and our eyes kicked open, we're going to see the hand that's helping, that's reaching out to help in many, many, many ways. And the help may not always be pleasant. It may not always be pleasant, but the help is there if you watch for it. And we're learning a little bit about the concept of unconditional love, first introduced to us by Ur-Rahman, as we head through our path here. So if you have an incident like that, and hopefully it's not just going to be when you're almost in an auto accident, but it could be any time you go through the day, keep your eyes open for such a thing. Let us know about it, because we all need to expand our eyes a little more. We need examples and exampleship. And I know we're at the end, and I know you're going to do another presentation next week. Is that about
right?
One
more, yes.
Yeah. Well, yes. I have a question for the group that I've been toying with for a few weeks now as we approach this August group book here. So I read the paragraph that was last read.
Yes, paragraph one.
And I wanted to notice, I noticed a couple of things that I just tied up also in verse two. But for the first time, we have one of these guys, and they say, I am capable of action.
Yes. Are you going to be here next week?
I am capable of action. We never know.
You want your answer now?
We're all being swept away. And then he goes on to say, and my actions are free of any taint, which the Kabbalists among us might have a pointer to. And at the very end of verse 2, it says, I have none to oppose me. And it says, not even an absolute evil.
Mm-hmm.
Very important point. So anyway, those questions, and so I'll come next week and maybe I'll get an answer, right?
Got that handled, yeah.
See? All right. And so we're going to conclude now. We're going to get off the recording, but don't hang up phone, people, for just a moment, please.
Yes,
okay? So thank you once again for coming, and we'll look forward to seeing everybody next Wednesday at 7 o'clock.
Thank you.
Say good night.
Good night.